जयं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी हरशील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्टो विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు వంశీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి నిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్షకృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్య దేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్యతోన్వయా ఇతరదస్ అర్థేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదాయ ఆదికవై ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయ తేజోవారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషు విత్తక్షణా నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసికా భువి భావుకాః సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రవ్రజంతం అనుపేతమపేతకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహగాదరమజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మై యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమతిర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయా పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుకొణిదాతృదానేందో మమ వాచి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురిం న కణికాపి కాపి కాపి నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యం నమః వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్టశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందర మందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగ వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురతో మమ మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపా తమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమదే అధియాయే నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద Krishna's answers to the four Kumaras, what we talked about last Saturday, and we saw that Sudeva Goswami's words on that. Sudeva Goswami said to, we'll continue from where we stopped last Sunday. Sudeva Goswami says to Parikshit in the second canto, if you remember, we mentioned this. సర్వాధిభూతసర్వం ఆత్మా యదా స్వప్నజనేక్షితైక తం సత్యమానందభజం నిధిం భజేద నాణ్యత్ర సజ్జేద్యత ఆత్మపాతః. దట్ వాస్ సుదేవ్ గోస్వామీస్ వర్డ్స్ టు పరీక్షిత్ ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద భాగవతం ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్. వై డిడ్ హీ సే దట్? హీ సేస్ హియర్ సర్వాధిభూతసర్వం ఆత్మా యదా స్వప్నజనేక్షితైక దట్ జస్ట్ లైక్ ఇన్ ద డ్రీమ్ స్టేట్ the soul is experiencing different bodies as though it going through different bodies, isn't it? In dream experience it's like that, and in that body it is experiencing different things, just like although in the dream state we go through different experiences, that means in the dream body you get that experience, isn't it? And that's what he's saying, alma yada swapna janekshidega, that in swapnam state the soul is experiencing that different experiences. Similarly, tam satyam ananda nidhim bhajeta, that the soul inside, which is Krishna's presence inside, tam satyam ananda nidhim bhajeta, that satyam, that eternal truth who is inside all of us, ananda nidhi, he is the source, or he is the treasure house of all the anandam or bliss, bhajeda, one should worship that, the soul inside. Na anyatra sajjed yada alma padaha, if our attention falls elsewhere instead on the soul, if our attention falls away from that and falls anywhere else, anyat sajjed alma padaha, he will fall down into, he has fallen down from the state of what we call as the identification with the body, or he has fallen into a very difficult state in spiritual life. So you can see that all the great personalities, including Sudeva Goswami, Krishna, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Srinarada Maharshi, all of them, they have only one thing to tell us. If you are not situated on the spiritual platform, we are fallen. That means bodily concept of life and all the other subsequent happenings after that. As Krishna said before, isn't it? Ahamit anyada buddhi pramattase yadahati ulsarpadi rajo ghoram tato vaigarigam mana. So living entity situation, Krishna is saying, is like that. So long as he is in the spiritually situated in the spiritual identity as the spirit soul, there is no problems. But the moment he falls from the spiritual identity, then Nayatra Sajeda Alpavadaha, Alpavadam, he has fallen down from this spiritual position. Nayatra Sajeda Alpavadaha, then he is in a crisis. The crisis has begun at that point itself. This is what we were discussing, isn't it? So, anything if we see beyond the soul, anything in this creation, as long as we see it separate from the soul, Alpavadaha, that is, you will fall. That's what Krishna's point. Or Sudeva Goswami is saying here, that anything you see outside from the soul, Alpavadaha. So, actually, because of this, in a highly advanced state, even the spiritual master thinks about the disciples not different from him, isn't it? Disciple may see different, because disciple will, in his position, he may see spiritual master as a spiritual master. But that spiritual master, from his position, he will not see, if he is thinking that he is my disciple, and I have to see him different from him, because the spiritual master is not situated in the spiritual position, then he will see his disciple as another entity separated from the soul. So many great spiritual masters, they never used to like when them being addressed as the spiritual master. They did not even like it. The reason they used to say that it is like you are trying to poke some a spear onto my body. It is so painful when you say like that. They will say this because it's difficult for them. Nayatra sajjeda alpavadaha. They do not want to fall from their spiritual position. So sometimes you can see this also in one's own life. Sometimes if you look at it, sometimes somebody comes and with a lot of difficulty they come and they would like to talk about something, about Krishna consciousness. So you wonder why they had so much interest in the Krishna consciousness, isn't it? So much interest in the Krishna consciousness. Because normally the mind will not take you to hear about Krishna. That is the nature of the mind. Mind will always tell you, come, let's go and look for some enjoyment. This is the nature of the mind. The very nature of the mind is like that. That it does not it will not ask you, let's go to the to Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or any spiritual activity. The mind is always hesitant, restrict, it has got an indifference towards that. So, because the mind knows only one thing, what is that? Sense enjoyment. That's the only thing the mind knows about it. It has got only that much power. Whereas, to take us to somewhere where we are talking about our spiritual identity, Swarupa Jnanam it's called, about the spiritual identity, the mind cannot comprehend that. Mind cannot understand that. If you tell the mind about the spiritual identity, it will not understand. It will not understand. So when that mind becomes Chit Shakti, when the mind becomes Chit Shakti, at that time, the energy from the Chit Shakti is sending us to the Satsangam or to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. That is not the mind what is doing it. It's not the mind what is doing that. When we get an urge from inside to go and hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or anything related to spiritual life which will help in your spiritual realization, all that is happening at that time is the Chit Shakti is acting at that point. Chit Shakti is acting at that point. Therefore, you will see that because of this reason, in Kathopanishad, this famous statement. The statement is that Shravanayabi Bahubiryana Labhyaha. That you may hear many things and your mind also may be there, but you won't hear it. That's what Upanishad is saying. Shravanayabi Bahubiryana Labhyaha. That even if you have heard it many times, you won't get it. You won't catch it. Because when you hear with the mind and with the senses, what you are hearing is not the actual hearing as far as Shastram is concerned. We'll discuss that later, what is actually Katha Shravanam means. Shravanam, most of us have misunderstood, it's hearing with the ears, isn't it? That's our understanding. We hear with the ears and then the mind gets involved and mind starts deciding whether what he has said is right or wrong, evaluating everybody. That's what the mind does. Often you will see these people come, they'll come and they'll listen 5 minutes, then they say what he's saying doesn't make any sense to me, and they'll go. Why is it? Because they are trying to hear with the senses, with the mind, with the ears and the mind. Ears and the mind cannot accept spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding comes from the Chit Shakti. The Chit Shakti, the spiritual potency inside is providing that energy. Shrunandobi Bhavo Yamna Vidyu. Nachiketas was asking Yama. Yama is saying to Nachiketas that Shravanayavi Bhavar Yona Labhyaha. Even if you, so many people have heard so much about the soul, they have never got it. Why? Shrunandobi Bhavo Yamna Vidyu. Even after hearing that they do not understand what is this thing called soul. Ashcharya vakto kushalosya labdha ashcharya jada kushalanu shishtaha. He says here that ashcharya vakta kushalosya labdha, that the speaker is saying nicely explaining everything. Ashcharya vakta kushalosya labdha, the person who is receiving it is also very expert. Ashcharya jnada kushalanu shishtaha. And then he says, Ashwarya Jnana, if one knows about it properly, then it is a wonder. It's a wonder. It's about the speaker. And Kushalanu Shishtaha, if he has got it, that is also a wonder. In other words, the realization of the soul would not happen just by one hearing alone. That's the point. Kathamunishad is saying to us, Ashwarya Vakta Kushalosya Labdaha, that we are thinking that just by hearing something, it comes in. It doesn't. It only happens when Krishna will say later on that when that inside Chit Shakti inside pushes outside to get that in and takes that initiative from inside, it comes out, then you will understand what is spoken in the Shastram. So that mind cannot take us to spiritual life. Mind cannot take us anywhere. As far as mind is concerned, mind is simply engaged in sense gratification. It will only take us to sense gratification. What will take us to spiritual, to hearing process, or to take to spiritual life is this urge from inside coming from Chit Shakti. Therefore, it is said that when you see that urge in someone to come up to understand Krishna consciousness, you have to appreciate that very much. When somebody is showing some interest in spiritual life, you have to appreciate that it's not coming from his mind, it's coming from the Chit Shakti. Krishna himself is pushing from inside that person to understand, because somehow or the other, an urge has come inside to understand the truth. So when that is coming up, you can see it's not coming from the mind, it's actually, on the other hand, coming from the person's Chit Shakti, from the soul. So therefore, sometimes we say, a sannyasi say like this, a jityasu, or one who is inquisitive, even he is higher than the liberated soul, jivan mukta. He is even higher than the liberated soul, because in liberated soul, he is already surrendered everything and he has come to a complete state of liberation. He has already reached that stage of liberation. So there is no more urge, but when a jinyasu, or one who is inquiring, when he comes and asks questions, you can immediately understand that Krishna is asking that question from inside. For him to fulfill that desire from inside to know about Krishna, that is the symptom of that Krishna's coming out from inside asking that question. Everything is happening in this world not because of us. We think our ahankaram or false ego is telling us that we are actually conducting the business in this world. But if you look at it from a deeper level, on a much more subtle level, you can see Krishna is running everything, including us. Our activities are everything controlled by Krishna. That when you see that, you can see the super soul's manifestation in that person, Antaryami. Antaryami coming out and showing its desire to capture the soul. Showing a desire to capture the soul. That at that point, it is not his false ego that is coming out. It is actually the seriousness inside, that Krishna inside is pushing that living entity to go in a different direction for self-realization. So, who wants to hear about Krishna? Not the false ego. False ego doesn't want to hear about Krishna. It is the Supreme Lord who is inside. He wants to hear about himself, what is being spoken. That is when that desire comes out to hear about Krishna. Not otherwise. With the mind, you can't take spiritual life on board. It's not possible. The mind will not accept it. Mind is nothing but continuous flow of thoughts which comes through. And that will take you to different places of enjoyment. Or it will take you to office. It will take you home. It will take you to some other place. But unlike the mind, the chit-shakti inside, it will only take you to closer to Krishna. That is why when chit-shakti is stronger inside, it will push the mind away and comes out. Krishna is coming out asking. Krishna wants to hear about himself, what we are talking about him, what we are saying about him. So that is why it is said that many realized soul, self-realized soul, after self-realization, they have no business in this world. They have no business here. As far as they are concerned, they are freed from this world, freed from the modes of material nature, and they are also freed from the body. And what business have they got here? But they still, Krishna keeps them here only for one reason. Because in their presence, so many others will get benefited if they talk about self-realization. In their realized state, only then it gives a lot of benefit to others. It is only for this reason they stay in this world. It's only for this reason they stay in this world. Many times, many Mahatmas, they do not sleep at night because they know at any point somebody may come, somewhere will have this urge inside to know about the truth. So they will come to these jnanis or realized souls inquiring about spiritual life, inquiring about Krishna, in other words. So their existence in this world is only for the benefit of others. Otherwise, that with that body, it is of no use to them. That body is of no use to them anymore because there is nothing to be gained in that living in that body. So, when they are there in that state, in their self-realized state, when people are coming to them, it's just like a magnet is attracting the iron. Magnet is attracting the iron filings. Exactly like that, they get attracted. They attract the living entity. So, and actually what is happening is that the chit-shakti inside of the person who is inquiring or who has the desire to know, he is inside, he is bringing him there and connecting him with this realized soul. Connecting him with the realized soul. That is what is happening. All the great realized souls, they know this. They know this. It is only for that reason they stay in this world. There is no other business for them here. And although sometimes they may have little prarabdham, but still they are all the time alert to make sure that those who have come to them with the desire for knowing the truth, that they will help them in their spiritual life. They'll help in their spiritual life. That is why, Tene Brahma Hridayam. Tene Brahma Hridayam. That Brahma received this spiritual knowledge in the same way, from heart to heart. Isn't it? It was not through ears. It was not through from the cassette or CD or anything. It was from Krishna's heart to Brahma's heart. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Mukhyandiyat Suraya. Each of these verses in the Bhagavatam has got so much to say to us. But Krishna is there, Vedavyas is saying to us that he says here, it has not gone from the mind to the mind. It has not gone from the intelligence to the intelligence. It has gone from Krishna's heart to Brahma's heart. And in order that to happen, తేని బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవే ముహ్యంది యత్ సూరయం. సూరి, సూరి ఇస్ మీన్స్ స్కాలర్స్, సూరయ మీన్స్ స్కాలర్స్. స్కాలర్స్ విత్ దర్ మైండ్ అండ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ దే ట్రై టు ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ దిస్ టు అదర్స్. దే ట్రై టు ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ దిస్ ట్రాన్స్మిషన్ ఆఫ్ ది నాలెడ్జ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది పర్సెప్టర్ టు ది డిసైపుల్. ద సూరీస్ ట్రై టు ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ దిస్ త్రూ దేర్ వర్డ్స్. బట్ వాట్ హ్యాపన్స్? మోహం గచ్చది. దే గెట్ లాస్ట్ ఇన్ దట్ ప్రాసెస్. సో సమ్టైమ్స్ స్పిరిచువల్ నాలెడ్జ్ యూ క్యాన్ ప్రొపగేట్ అండ్ మేక్ ఎ లాట్ ఆఫ్ పీపుల్ టు కమ్. You can run classes and seminars and make people to come and attend the courses. And but we'll try very best in all that way. But they will study it also, and they will understand also on an intellectual level or mental level. But you will see that if you look at them, after a while, they are again like ordinary people. Nothing has changed. So that's where the important thing is. This is what Bhagavatam is saying is, తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదయ ఆది కవే ముహ్యంది యత్ సూరయ. ముహ్యంది మీన్స్, వాట్ ఈస్ ముహ్యంది మీన్స్? ముహ్యంది మీన్స్ ఫ్రమ్ మోహం. మోహం మీన్ డెల్యూషన్, కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఇల్యూషన్ ఇన్ సైడ్. దట్ ఇల్యూషన్ ఇన్ దమ్ సూరయ. సూరయ మీన్స్ ఈవన్ స్కాలర్స్, వెరీ హైలీ లెర్న్డ్ పీపుల్, ఈవన్ దే ఆర్ పజిల్డ్ బై దిస్, బై ది హౌ దిస్ స్పిరిచువల్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఈస్ ఫ్లోయింగ్ త్రూ ఫ్రమ్ వన్ సోర్స్ టు అనదర్ సోర్స్, ఫ్రమ్ ది స్పిరిచువల్ మాస్టర్ టు ది disciple. So there is no shortcut in these things. So they are also looking that they can run courses, seminars and everything, but if the knowledge has not gone in, you may get a certificate also at the end, you have done the course, but nothing has happened. At the end you will see that they, after 6 months after the course, if you ask them what has happened after that course, they will say there's nothing has changed. Okay, they may answer. If you have any questions, they'll answer you the questions and all. But the transmission of that spirituality, spiritual understanding hasn't happened. Why? Because what Krishna is saying here, it has to go from the heart to the heart of the person. Tene brahma hridaya adi kave muhyandi yat suryam. So ultimately you will see that this vastu, vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam, isn't it? That vastu... Vastu Shivadam Tavatrayon Mulanam. Because if the Vastu has gone in, Vastu means this spiritual understanding has gone into your person, what is the symptom of that? Tavatrayam Unmulanam. Tavatrayam should not happen to him anymore. As you know what Tavatrayam is, isn't it? Adhyatmiyam, Adibaudiyam, Adidevigam. The three kinds of distresses should not happen to him anymore after that. Only then you can say that the message has gone in. Not otherwise. If you are free from tapatrayam, the three kinds of distresses, adhyatmikam, adibhaudikam, adidevikam, the three kinds of distresses, when you are completely released from that, you can say that the spiritual message has gone in. Otherwise not. What are we doing? We are thinking that we are doing everything what we are told, but except the message. We don't want the message. Message is too much trouble for us. The message gets in, because this is, Krishna calls it as the resistance from inside. So, tene brahma hridaya adigavaye muhyandi yat suryam. Then Krishna says that jnanis knows about this very well. That is why they do not get involved too much into propagation. There is no need for that. They know those who are looking for it, they will come. And that they will be brought there to the right place by Krishna's arrangement from inside. Krishna will bring that person to the right person at the right time, when he is ready for it, when his prarabdham is a little bit finished, and also when he has enough chitta-shuddhi inside, and he is genuinely looking for spiritual life, Krishna will take him to that right person from inside. Atmano gurur atmaiva purushasya visheshada pratyakshena anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade. Bhagavatam ekadasham. Krishna is saying at the right time, it is Krishna's duty to take you there to the right person. It is Krishna's responsibility, not anybody else's responsibility. It is not subject to your management and all your courses and seminars. No, it's a completely different thing it is. There, when you are spiritually ready, from inside, Krishna will take you to the right person where you will have that connection made to the right person to get that understanding. So that's why it says here, so therefore, Krishna, therefore Shastram is saying that when that desire is coming from inside, all you have to do is to know to go against it. You don't have to initiate everything from your own side. But if one person has got it from his heart, it will go to somebody else's heart in a natural way. In a natural way, it will go. Just like you are lighting a lamp from one lamp to another lamp. That is the process. One lamp to another lamp. So it will automatically burn the next one, isn't it? So similarly, the chit shakti from one heart, it will go into the another heart. It is called a shakti vadam. Shakti vadam means the flow of energy from one's from the spiritual master to the disciple. It has to happen. When that realization happens in the disciple's heart, when it starts working there, automatically, that is called swanubhuti. Little by little, this understanding that I am this body will leave him. I am this body will go. I am this mind, that will also go. And he will realize that I have been identifying with the false ego. I have been identifying with the false ego. And also, I have been identifying within this understanding, I am the separate personality. A personal identification. Isn't it? We have a thing called, what is called personality now. What is personality actually? Personality is nothing but our false ego inside. That's all this personality is. And that, they are saying, you have to develop that. Personality development, I believe. And that is spiritual life in the modern world. So we are trying to get out of this thing called personality. Personality is the whole problem for us. That is nothing but the false ego inside, isn't it? So this kind of things will happen. But automatically, when that personality or ahankaram, false ego inside, gets destroyed inside, automatically the chit shakti identification will come. Identification with the chit shakti will come. We will realize then. Jnaneshwari, if you remember, Jnaneshwari was the greatest saint in Maharashtra. Many others came later. Namdev, Tukaram, Ekanath, they all came later. But Jnaneshwar was the original personality who has who lived a very short period of time. But in that short period of time, he commented on Bhagavad Gita, which is very well known. Jnaneshwari's commentary on Bhagavad Gita. He says here, as soon as he hears the right person has come to the spiritual master and he hears, immediately the lamp will burn inside. The message will get in without any further delay. So as much as you light one lamp to another lamp, said it starts burning immediately in the heart of the disciple. In the heart of the disciple. So as much as when we start lighting the lamp from one's heart to another heart, when the message goes in, what is the realization that happens to him? He started saying that the dvandvam or duality goes away from him. The dvandvam goes away from him. So that is what we were discussing last Sunday. Krishna was saying this, if you look into those verses, in the verse 25 and 26, Krishna talked about this. That is how Krishna is begin this instructions, isn't it? All these verses from now on are the reply to Kumaras, and then eventually Krishna will give a conclusion to that. That means from verse 25 it begins, and so the remaining verses all the question answer to Brahma's questions. Krishna says here, Guneshu avishade chedo gunas chedasi ja prabho praja. Jivasya deha ubhayam gunaschedo madalmana. That was the answer, isn't it? So he says here, Jivasya deha ubhayam. That the guneshavishade chedo gunaschedasija prabho. That gunam, modes of nature, enters into the mind. And the mind goes after sense objects. This is the problem, isn't it? What Krishna has talked about it before. Kumara's question was, how can this be stopped? This was the question. Guneshu avishade chittam. And then, gunas cheda sija praja. Jivasya deha ubhayam. Gunas chedo madalmana. we have seen there that Krishna was saying there that the both these modes of nature and the mind, Chetasa's mind, both of them is not my manifestation. It's not mine, Krishna is saying. Why is he saying like that? Because these two things, modes of nature and the mind, is actually a upadhi of jiva, not Krishna's upadhi. Krishna's upadhi is, Krishna's is a soul here. Krishna is soul inside, isn't it? But the jiva, this is a false ego. It's a false ego's upadhis are these two. Which one? The modes of nature and the mind. Modes of nature and the mind. So Krishna says here, jivasya deha ubhayam gunascheto madalmanaha. He says here, etad ubhayam madalmanaha jivasya deha. Then he says here, both of these two things, guna and chetas, both of them, etad ubhayam madalmanaha jivasya deha. They are not of the soul, they don't belong to the soul, they belong to the jiva. Jiva means false ego. False ego inside. So he says here, what he means, trying to say is, our swarupam, our actual identity is spiritual, isn't it? We are soul, we are not false ego. So these two modes of nature and the mind, they have nothing to do with the soul. It is not its permanent associate. It doesn't exist with the soul anytime. While being in the body, we have all these things together. The gross body, the mind, intelligence, senses, ego, all these things together. But under no circumstances, the soul inside is connected with modes of nature. This is an important point. Because soul is always independent. Soul has nothing to do with the modes of nature. Neither soul has anything to do with the mind. Mind is a thing which has popped up, as Krishna said before, isn't it? What did Krishna say? Krishna says in the earlier chapter, in the 12th chapter, that the mind comes out at some point, that and then prayana ghoshena guham pravishta, that all these things are happening around, centered around that. From some hole it has come out. Who? This mind. And it has to go back through the same hole, back again. When we say hole, it's not a hole in the body, it's a hole in our identity. That in our soul, if you ask where is the hole in the soul, I can't show you that. It's not there. It comes out from the soul at some point, and it goes back to the soul again, when the realized state. Because false ego goes, mind goes, intelligence goes, everything goes. And it all goes back in the same way. Sayesha jivo vivara prasudi. Isn't it? That's the important thing Krishna said. Jiva has taken birth and all these things have come along with that. Vivara prasudi. From that dwaram, that whole prasudi. Jiva vivara prasudi. Prayana ghoshena guham pravishta. After it has come about, then it has created all the world outside. And then we started our interaction with the world. And we take something as right and something as wrong. These are all dvandvam, which comes after the creation of the world. It's only when we are interacting with the world, dvandvam is very powerful, duality, isn't it? This is right, this is wrong, and all the other things associated with that dualist nature. But when it goes back, he says, Krishna says here, because they are only upadhi, not with the swarupam, then actually when, by Krishna's mercy, when the proper self-realization happens, this misunderstanding of the mind and the modes of nature will leave him, will leave that person. It will not cause any problems after that. When he is properly established in the self, it is then that they will leave him. These two, modes of nature as well as the mind, will leave that person when he identifies completely with the soul. When he identifies completely with the soul. That's why he says here, guneshu chamsha chittam abhishnam abhishnam gunasevaya gunascha chitta prabhava madrupam ubhayam tyajet. This is another important words. He says here, guneshu chamsha chittam abhishnam gunasevaya. So how did this happen? Because constantly the mind was absorbed in sense enjoyment for a very long period of time. Therefore, that mind and the vasanas that the sense enjoyment has created inside us. Yeah, two things are happening. When we are associating with the modes of nature, when we are in contact with the sense objects, we are experiencing that sense objects, who is enjoying, the mind is enjoying. Isn't it? The sense enjoyment is experienced by the mind. And while mind is experiencing that, these sense objects are leaving behind some impressions inside, which is called vasanas. So those vasanas and these sense enjoyment or sense objects, both of them, we have to leave them. How? Knowing very well that we are spirit soul, we are neither this mind nor the sense enjoyment what we are experiencing, but we are actually Krishna's presence inside in the form of the soul. That is what we are. That is why our proper identity is. Now, in the bhakti position, this is in the jnani's point of view, considering that we are same as Krishna inside the soul. In the devotee's position, devotee will see that we are Krishna's servant. We are Krishna's servant. That's the difference between jnani and the bhakta. The devotee will say that I am Krishna's servant, that Krishna is present inside as the soul, I am Krishna's servant. Jnani will say, I am Krishna inside the soul, identification with the soul as Krishna's presence inside. You see? So, Krishna's point here in these two verses is that knowing this very well, that by identification with the soul inside, one should leave these two things. Which one? The three modes of nature, and the mind will automatically leave him at that state. That's what he's saying here. So, this Ragadvesham and Ragadvesham means attachment and aversion, has happened to the objects outside, isn't it? When the mind is interacting with the world, it creates Ragadvesham, attachment and aversion. And knowing very well that these both things, attachment and aversion, as well as the object outside, they are one and the same. Because Ragadvesham has happened because of the object outside, isn't it? That's what has created the Ragadvesham inside. So, knowing very well that they are one and the same, you have to put them both in the same level and give up that duality from inside. And there is the only way that all living entities to recognize this, that all of them, it is Krishna's manifestation. To see them in that way, and little by little, in this way, we can come out of this Ragadvesham. We can come out of this Ragadvesham. This is discussed in length in the fifth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. If we can discuss it when we discuss Bhagavad Gita at that time. In the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about this very much in detail. How this Ragadvesham that is inside is linking with the world outside, and how that complicates our spiritual progress, spiritual life in other words. So, up to that point, before this realization comes temporarily, all our sadhana, our anushtanam or yogam, all these things you can do. But as soon as you come to this higher level of understanding, you can see that there is no second thing here. It is only Krishna's presence everywhere. And there is nothing outside Krishna. And all the sense enjoyment, what you are experiencing from the sense objects, and all the sense objects, they are all nothing but a transformation of the soul from inside. This is all from a transformation from the soul. Why? Just like all these things are happening in soul, in the soul. That's where it is happening. The soul is also referred to as Brahman, isn't it? Brahman. And it is in this Brahman all these things are happening. Which one? All this mind is popping up from there. False ego has popped up from there. Sense objects have come in from there. Again, this experience of sense enjoyment is also happening within the soul. So when we understand our proper identity as the soul, as soon as we go back to the spiritual identity, you can see all these are just like the waves coming from the sea.
like the water comes in different forms, like the waves as well as the bubbles or the foam and different shapes it takes. Similarly, these things are coming from the original source, from the soul. That is what Krishna is saying here. Then just like gold is transformed into different jewelry, like the chain, the ring, the anklets, and various other jewelry, what we make out of that, it changes its different form, isn't it? Similarly, the soul, the spiritual energy, the soul inside, it's taking different forms in the form of false ego, in the form of mind, in the form of intelligence, in the form of sense enjoyment, in the form of senses. All this is nothing but a transformation of the soul inside. Once we go back to that understanding, then these things will not disturb anyone. Krishna is going to talk about that in the next verse. Jagral sopna sushuptam cha gunato buddhi vrittaya tasam vilakshano jiva sakshitvena vinischidaha. Krishna says here that jagrat sopnam sushupti, three states, gunado buddhi vrittayaha, all these three states of existence belongs to buddhi, to intelligence. Jagrat adayaha buddhi vrittayaha bhavandi natu jivasyaha. Jagrat, sopnam, sushuptam, all these three states belongs to buddhi. Belongs to buddhi, intelligence, not belongs to soul. Tascha na sobhavyakyah kindu gunataha eva bhavandi. That is not a natural thing because they are coming from sattvam, rajas and tamas. So these three states what we are experiencing in our life is these three states, isn't it? Jagrat, sopnam and sushupti. They are not nothing to do with the soul. Nothing to do with the soul. It has come to us. Why? Because of these three modes of nature. Three modes of nature has created this in us. This created in us. Which one? Jagrat, sopnam, sushupti. We think it is a very natural thing. It's not a natural thing. Jagrat, sopnam, sushupti is not a natural thing for us. That is not our natural state. We are accepting it because we have no choice. That's why we are accepting it. Because we have no other choice, is it? So, Jagral, Krishna is saying, Jagral sopnam sushuptancha gunado buddhi vrittayaha. It is buddhi's vritti. Vritti of the buddhi. Buddhi intelligence inside. Tasam vilakshano jivaha sakshitvena vinischidaha. He says here, that jiva tu sakshitvena tasam vilakshanaha vinischidaha. Actually, Jiva's real identity, he is a sakshi, he is a witness, like the other bird. Out of the two, Jiva is one of the birds, isn't it? The other bird, which is the super soul inside, the living entity also, Jiva, is of the same nature. He became a Jiva only when he started experiencing this world and started finding happiness in this world, in its ignorance and in its false ego. It has started feeling separation from Krishna, from the super soul. So when he has separated from him, it is then that he became a jiva. But prior to that, he was actually a sakshi like the super soul. Like the super soul, he was a sakshi. Actually, in reality, he is a sakshi. He is a witness to it. He is only a witness to it. That, in other words, he is beyond the three modes of material nature. In his pure state, the soul is beyond the three modes of material nature. He is only when he has come to the contact with the three modes of nature, he became a jiva and then all the other subsequent things. That's why Krishna says there, Jagral sopna sushuptancha gunato buddhi vrittayaha tasam vilakshano jiva sakshitvena vinischidaha. So, saying that, Krishna says, Jagrat avastha, sopna avastha, sushupta avastha. This is important. These three states are very, very important to know. Why Krishna talks about that very specifically here. Then all these three states are existing in the intelligence. They are existing in the tasam vilakshano jivaha. Then the first step, Krishna says, in that direction for self-realization is to know that we are supposed to be a witness to this, these three modes of nature when they come. What normally happens to all of us is, when the three modes of nature hits us, we surrender straight away to that three modes, isn't it? Because it's mostly passion and ignorance that comes. Goodness doesn't come very easily, isn't it? It's mostly passion and ignorance. When they attack us in that modes, immediately we surrender, identify with it, and then we do everything, whatever prompted by that particular mode, and after that we think, what have I done now? By then it's a bit too late. So Krishna is saying here that the important to create that discrimination inside, and Krishna is going back to the first step again. What is that? First to talk about the goal, and then he is going to these three states again. First he spoke about the goal, isn't it? Goal is this, to become identification with the soul. But what is stopping us from identifying with the soul? These three modes of nature. And these three modes of nature is not in the soul, but it is affecting us in the creates the jiva consciousness inside, and our identity with the jiva happens at that point. We become jiva. Along with that, the false ego also is created, and the three modes, strong, powerful three modes of material nature, with this false ego, identification with the false ego, interacts in this world. Krishna is saying, none of these three states are real. None of these three states are real. They are all our temporary states. They are all our temporary states. And therefore, first thing to do, Krishna says, analyze these three states properly. In the Jagrat state, the body is there. The mind is there, isn't it? The intelligence is there. The senses are there. I am there. That's about how we have to start this analysis. People are always asking this, how do I do that? They will ask. As though you say, it's something you can answer like that. You say, so first Krishna says, start with this. Think about the Jagrat state, vacant state. What's happening? The body is there. Body is active. The mind is there. Mind is active. The intelligence is there. Intelligence is active. The senses are there. Senses are active. And I am there. Who is that I am? Not that false ego. I am in the spirit soul is there. And I am there in the form of ego also. But I am not identifying with the real I. I am identifying with the false ego I. That's what I am doing in the Jagrat state. I am identifying with my body. Body is there. I am identifying with... When we say body is there means I am identifying with him. Similarly, I am identifying with the mind. Mind is there. I am identifying with intelligence. Intelligence is there. I am identifying with the false ego. False ego is there. This is all in the Jagrat state. Then Krishna says, come to the dream state. What's happening at that time? In the dream state, body is not there. Physically, body is there. But I am not identifying with the body. That's what's happening in the dream state. This thing should be always thought through, because otherwise, if you on an intellectual level, if you capture this, it won't help very much. You can tell somebody else, that's all. But that's no good, isn't it? That's what Krishna is talking about. That what is the point in knowing something if it is not coming of any use to us in our spiritual life? This is spiritual life. Spiritual life means all these things. That that as soon as you go to the dream state, Krishna is saying there, immediately the body is not there. When we say body is not there, means body is there, but I am not identifying with the body anymore. But the mind is there, I am there. Mind is there, I am there. False ego is there. But in the in the Sushupti states, body is not there, the mind is not there, mind is not there, and the false ego is also not there. There the switch happens. In the Jagrat, in the vacant state and the dream state, you are identifying with the false ego. You are identifying with the false ego. As soon as you move into Sushupti state, in the deep sleep state, you are leaving these two, body as well as the mind, including you are leaving your identity with the false ego also, and you take your identity with the real soul, the spirit soul. Identity comes in the Sushupti state. So, in all these three states, that reality which doesn't change, and that is the Sat, that is the Sat, Sattva means the soul. That is the soul, which doesn't change in all the other states. He has not changed in the Jagrat state. Jagrat state we have identified with the Jiva, Ahanda, false ego. That's what has happened. Similarly, in the dream state, we are identified with the mind. And in the deep sleep state, we are not, and the body is not there, the mind is also not there. All that what you are experiencing, not even your false ego, you are only as a witness there. The in the deep sleep, what is experienced by the soul. The our pure identity as the soul. In the Ekadasham, when you read through, you will see Jagrat state doesn't exist for Krishna. Dream state doesn't exist for Krishna. Nor the deep sleep state exists for Krishna. Krishna is beyond these three states all the time. When we see Krishna, we are thinking that Krishna is like us, another person standing there, going through these three states. Krishna doesn't have the three states. Krishna is in that fourth, which is not a state. It's not a state. The fourth one is not a state. It is our real identity. That's our proper position, what we are supposed to be. This is that state. These three states, what we are talking about, is all the unnatural or the conditioned state. That's where these three states are happening. Jagrat, Supnam and Sushupti. So, so this thing which we call as Jiva, Jivaha, Krishna says, Jivasya Deho Bhayam, Tasam Vilakshano Jivaha, Sachityane Vinishchiraha. Krishna says that Jivaha Vilakshanaha. Vilakshana means that you cannot identify him with any of these things. Which one? That he is beyond the three modes of nature. He is beyond the three modes of nature. Because he is beyond the three modes of nature, he is beyond the three states of existence also. You understand that? The three modes of nature is experienced due to the three states of existence is experienced by us because of the presence of three modes of nature. In Sattvagunam, we experience Jagrat state. In Rajogunam, we experience the dream state. And in Tamogunam, we experience the deep sleep. When the modes of nature are predominant on us, we experience Jagrat state in Sattvagunam. What we mean by that, don't think that we are in Sattvagunam at that state. That's not what it means. It is a little complex thing. That when three modes of nature are working on us, this Jagrat state is favorable for spiritual life. Therefore, we say Sattvagunam is present there. But suppose if we don't practice spiritual life, completely in a materialistic way we live in this world, then our Jagrat state is not proper Jagrat state. It is a dream state. Do you understand that difference? That the real Jagrat state is only when the Sattvagunam is influencing you strongly and you are progressing in the spiritual path, then you are in Jagrat state. But just because my eyes are open, ears are open, and I am chatting and talking to people, does not mean I am in Jagrat state. This is the difference between the three states. Jagrat state is properly in Sattvagunam. If you are acting, then it is in Jagrat state. That means if you are engaged in spiritual activities, it is in Jagrat state. But if you bring Tamogunam into the Jagrat state and completely absorbed in the sleep in the Jagrat state, then what is it? It's not Jagrat, isn't it? It's not Jagrat. So sometimes we fall asleep in the class, and then what happens? It is not Jagrat state. Isn't it? It's not Jagrat state. So Krishna is saying real Jagrat state is when influenced by Sattvagunam. And real dream state is when influenced by Rajogunam. Rajogunam must be there. Only then it is dream state. And real Sushupti is when there is Tamogunam. Only then it is Sushupti. So all the three modes are welcome if you want to have all those three states. Suppose when we go to deep sleep, and in the deep sleep, if you want to have Sattvagunam, it's not possible. It's not possible. What I'm saying is the conditioned state. It's not possible. So in the deep sleep state, it is tamogunam has to be there. Only then you will have deep sleep. Otherwise you won't get a deep sleep. Isn't it? So tamogunam is necessary in deep sleep to have that experience of the deep sleep state. Similarly, rajogunam is necessary in the dream state to experience the dream. Similarly, sattogunam is necessary in the jagrat state to experience jagrat. As long as you are not conscious of your spiritual reality, you have fallen from the spiritual truth, you are not in the jagrat state. You are in a sort of a dream state. Most of us are all the time in this dream state. You can see that. All the time you look at people, they are all talking something, and while talking they are thinking about something else at home, what's happening, or what's happening at work, or something else is going through their mind. If you observe people when they are walking on the street, you look at them, they'll be thinking in their mind, what should I do when I get home, what I have to do. All the planning is going on inside, isn't it? Or even while sitting here, you may be thinking, what's this I have to do after the class? Where do I have to go? Which appointment have I got? What phone calls I have to make? Who is going to call me? What I have to do? Tomorrow is Monday, work week starts again. So all these thoughts could be going through one's mind. That is not jagrat state. This is not jagrat state. This is dream state. So majority, almost all of us, although we may think we are in jagrat, basically it is a jagrat predominated by dream state. Predominated by dream state. That's what we are most of the time. Rarely we come to jagrat state. Real jagrat state. It's rarely that happens, because as soon as you wake up in the morning, planning starts for the day. Until we go to bed in the night, is this planning only going on? So many thoughts are coming, and along with that, so many dreams also. I have to do this, I have to do that, making plans for the future. This is all not jagrat state, this is all the dream state that is we are in. So, when Krishna says here, jagral, sapnam, sushuptam, that is why we say, these three modes of nature, particularly sattvam, rajas and tamas, they have a direct influence on your state of existence. Yeah, sattvagunam is what keeps you in jagrat. If you are in good sattvagunam, proper sattvagunam, then you are in jagrat state. If you are in proper rajogunam, you will be in dream state. And if you are in tamogunam, you will be in the deep sleep. So, but Krishna is saying that under no circumstances the soul has anything to do with it. The soul is always beyond these three states of existence. One interesting thing here is, in Bhagavad Gita, the three states are not discussed. Krishna did not discuss in Bhagavad Gita the three states of existence. Whereas in Srimad Bhagavatam, a lot of things Krishna has spoken about the three states of existence. So, you can see from this that to make us to understand that when we are in the state beyond these three states, that is our proper state, proper reality as far as we are concerned. That is our real existence. It should be in that state. And Krishna is saying in the next verse that how this understanding that I am awake, I am sleeping, how did this come to us? How do we get that? That's what is answered in the next verse. Krishna says, Yarhi samsradi bandhoyam almano gunavrittida Mai turiye sthito jahyal tyagastal gunachetasam. Yarhi samsradabandhoyam almano gunavrittida Mai turiye sthito jahyal tyagastal gunachetasam. That almana, I am samsradi bandha, yarhi tarhi gunavrittidaha. So long as the soul has a connection with this material existence, along with the intelligence, what actually you are experiencing is that what is coming from the modes of nature. It is nothing to do with the soul. But Atma, the soul, has come into material existence due to intelligence. Because it's intelligence, these three modes of nature are present. So Krishna says here, this connection between the soul through the intelligence to the modes of nature. It is through the intelligence, it's making this connection between the modes of nature. And that is what is causing gunavrtti. Gunavrtti means the the actions that is prompted by the modes of nature that is happening to us. Tasma turiye mai sthidaha jahya tal gunacheda sam tyagaha bhavati. Therefore Krishna says you have to break away from this connection. What connection? That completely situated in Krishna. Completely situated in Krishna. When he says situated in me, what does it mean? It means situated in the soul, in the platform of the soul. Soul is Krishna. That in that understanding, if you exist in that sage situation, this connection will break with the modes of nature. Automatically, the connection with the mind and the modes and the sense objects will automatically break up. Krishna saying that only because of this connection with the, like these three states have happened to us, Krishna says only because of one thing, that the soul through this medium called intelligence, it has started getting interaction with the modes of material nature. Yarhi samsrati bandhoyam atmano gunavrittida. This is called adhyasika bandham. Adhyasa means it's not real, but we are experiencing it. It's not real because soul doesn't experience anything. Soul is not experiencing anything. It's a misunderstanding inside us. What has happened? That I am this mind, I am this intelligence, I am this body, like that. It is not a real thing. Soul is not identifying with anything. But in our own consciousness, this misunderstanding has come in. An identification with the mind, intelligence. And as soon as that identification has come, Krishna says the modes of nature in association with intelligence creates the experience of this material existence, comes to us. And the result of that is that we are experiencing this world outside. So, so while we're looking at the world outside, with all these forms, everything, you can experience that this is the form of that connection with the world. And inside, with the Chit Shakti, when you look inwards, you will see that Chit Shakti is unaffected by anything that is what is happening outside. So there, Krishna mentions, Yarhi samsada bandhoyam. That's what he says. Almano gunavrittida, mai turiye sido jahiyal tyagastal gunachetasam. And a lot of things Krishna is saying here, that the mai turiye sido jahiyal, turiya means the turiya. Turiya means beyond the three states. Turiyam. It is not a state. It is what we are. State means what? You can change from the state. From the state, you can change. That means you have to always change from one state to another. Isn't it? Like from Jagrat state, you can change to dream state. From dream state, you can change to deep sleep state. From there, you can come back to Jagrat state. But Turiyam is not a state. It is our nature. Our proper identity is Turiyam. That is what we are. That's why Krishna is saying here, Mai Turiye Sthito. If you come to that Turiyam, Jahya Tyagastad Guna Chedasam. Then you can give up Gunam and Chedas. Both the modes of nature as well as the mind. You can free yourself from that. Otherwise not. Difficult. That Krishna is saying here, Yarhi Samsrati Bandhoyam Almano Gunavrittida. That the moment Mai Turiye Sthitaha, as soon as you are situated in Turiyam, Turiyam, which is not a state, which is our real identity. Mai Turiya Sthito Jahya Tyagastal Gunachedasam. You can give up the Gunam, the three modes of nature, and you can also give up the Chetas, the mind. Chedakkallasya Bandhaya Muktaye Chalpano Madam Guneshu Saktam Bandhaya Radimva Pumsi Muktaye. Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi, if you look into the third canon, exactly the same thing. Ekadasha Skandam, what Krishna says to Uddhava, is not much different. Very little difference between what Kapila Maharshi's instructions to Devahuti Devi in the third canto and Krishna's instructions to Uddhava in the 11th canto. So there he says, Chedakhalvasya Bandhaya Muktaye Chalpano Madam Guneshu Saktam Bandhaya Radimva Pumsi Muktaye. He says, Chedakhalvasya Bandhaya Muktaye Chalpano Madam. It says, Chedas Kallasya Bandhaya. That mind, when it is association with the sense objects, bondage. And Muktaye, bondage, and liberation can happen. Muktaye cha Almano Madam. When it identifies with the soul, liberation. Mukti, liberation. When it identifies with the mind, bondage. When it identifies with the soul, liberation. Guneshu Saktam Bandhaya. Due to the modes of nature, bondage has happened. And the same mind, Radhim Vapumsi Muktaye, that if it is ready, if it finds happiness in the soul, it is immediately liberated. Radhim Va Pumsi Muktaye. There, Kabala Maharshi says, Radhim Va Pumsi Muktaye. He will say, when it is attached to me, when he says attached to me, remember this, when Krishna is talking, Kabala Maharshi is talking all the time, is that when your attachment is towards the soul. That's what it means. Otherwise, it's not that attached to that form there as such, because Krishna is talking all these things from a spiritual position. Spiritual position. Rasimba Pumsi Muktaye. That as soon as the attachment is towards the soul, Muktaye, you are in the liberated state. That is what Kabala Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi. And here, Krishna is saying here, the other way, Yarhi Samsrada Bandhoyam Atmano Gunavurtida Mai Duriye Sido Jahyal Tyagastal Gunachedasam. It's exactly the same statement, but spoken in a different, through different words. But in essence, the meaning is exactly the same. What Kabala Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi. So you can see that transcendental knowledge never changes. Material knowledge will change always, isn't it? Today one knowledge, tomorrow they will find something new, and that is the next knowledge, tomorrow's knowledge. And like this, continuous changing, that is the nature of the material knowledge. Spiritual knowledge, always the same, never changes. What Kabala Maharshi spoke, this Bhagavatam was spoken 5,000 years ago, when Krishna spoke to Uddhava. Or Sudeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit. This was 5,000 years ago. Take it for that matter. Kabila Maharshi spoke when? Millions of years ago. Sanghim. When he spoke, what he spoke then is exactly the same thing Krishna is saying today, 5,000 years ago. So you can see, spiritual knowledge is Sat. It never changes. It's always the same. What is happening to us is, we get infected by the modes of nature, and we, in the fallen state, thinking that, oh, I have to research and find out something. You don't need any university to research anything. The knowledge is already there inside. Very clearly, Krishna's only thing is, we have to develop that purity inside to understand all these things, what Krishna is saying. What we are not able to understand is this, that what Krishna is saying, we are unable to understand. That is what we have to say about that. Nothing new. There's no new knowledge. Krishna has invented anything. What Kabala Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi is exactly what Krishna is saying to Uddhava also here. Now, if you look into the sixth canto, Chitragedu went to see who? Sankrishna Murti, isn't it? Chitragedu was given after his experiences, the child died. You know that story, don't you? Everybody knows the story very well anyway. So, stories. So, story is this, that Chitragedu's son, he had a son. The son was born after a lot of effort. Angiras Maharshi and Srinarada Maharshi came and blessed them to have a son. And this child was born. But Chitragedu had many wives. Other wives were not happy with this particular wife who had the child, Kritajuri. That was her name. So because of envy towards Kritajuri, they killed that child by poisoning the child. So when the child got killed, Chitragedu got very upset. Narada Maharshi and Angiras came there and gave instructions on transcendental knowledge to them. So when the instructions were given, Chitragedu was relieved from his distress, and Narada Maharshi told him that actually we have come to deliver you from this state of existence, in this conditioned state, in the material life. Although you may be a king, you have so many queens and a lot of opulences, everything. Ultimately it is material life, isn't it? So we wanted to give you the ultimate benefit, final release from this material existence once for all. That's why we came to you first time. But you will not take us seriously. You only wanted to have the child. So we thought we will fulfill your desire first, which you have got fulfilled. Now you saw what happened. This is how material life will be. That Jiva has left the body. And Srinarada Maharshi called that Jiva back to come back. And told the Jiva why you are giving distress to your parents like this. So when the Jiva replied, Chitragedu had enough. He didn't want to hear anymore after that. What did Jiva say to Chitragedu? Jiva is saying to the sages, look, this Chitragedu and this mother, Kritajuri, they are only my parents in this life. I had so many lifetime before that. Narada Maharshi has given this understanding to Jiva to speak. And all these lifetimes, if I have to please all those parents in all those lifetimes, I am not going to get out of this business, he says. Not only that, I was also a father for so many people in so many lifetimes. And none of them are coming to me and telling me, what can I do for you? They are not asking me. So the whole thing is such a maya that I don't want to get implicated in this. I am going here. I stayed here only that much time, what was necessary. My food was kept here for me to stay here. And that was my destiny. So I have accepted that. That food is finished now. I am leaving, he said. When the Jiva spoke like this, Chitrakedu's head started working. What a foolish person I am. He started thinking like that. It is then that Chitrakedu says, I had enough of this material life. Let me go from here. Because these three states of existence, all this is the same maya what we are all in, isn't it? It's not much different than that. So when Chitrakedu said this, Sri Narada Maharshi understood that Chitrakedu is ready now. So he told Chitrakedu, gave him a mantra to chant. And he told him, chant this mantra for 7 days, you will go experience, you will go back to spiritual world. So Chitrakedu very promptly, 7 days and nights, he chanted this mantra. And after that he felt that he has reached the spiritual world. He reached the spiritual world. But what happened there was, Sankrishnamurti, Lord Balaram was there. Krishna wasn't there when he went there. Probably Krishna's gone somewhere. But Balaram was there. Balaram instructed him on spiritual, it was Balaram whom he saw in the spiritual world. So Balaram spoke to him. Balaram's verses are there in the 16th chapter, in the 6th canto. Labdeha manushim yonim, jnana vijnana sambhavam, atmanam yona buddheda, na kojecha mamapnuyad. This is Balaram's words. Balaram, Sankrishnamurti is Balaram. He's instructing on the transcendental knowledge to Chitrakedu. And after receiving this knowledge from Lord Balaram, Sankrishnamurti, Chitrakedu became a Vidyadhara. And then he travelled all around. That you all story you know in the Bhagavadam. That he became a great Vidyadhara. And then he travels all around. And he was given also a group of women to sing and travel all around. And Chitrakedu was having a great time with that. And Chitrakedu, in that process, Chitrakedu goes with them. And I mentioned this before, that all the other Vidyadharas looked at Chitrakedu and found out that this Chitrakedu has come here not fully qualified in that position. The human species, it's okay. It is in one level. But all other living entities also, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, that they have higher qualifications. That is why they have been given those positions. Charanas, Kinnaras, Gandharvas, they are all living entities superior to us. Why they are superior? Because they have a higher sensual power. Sensory perception is higher in them. Also, they have higher transcendental knowledge than us. Or they can see higher things, what we cannot see with our senses. In other words, their sensory perception is much higher than us. Vidyadharas can travel freely to Kailasam, to Lord Shiva's abode. And to heavenly planets also, they can travel. Whereas we can't. We are told, this is your place, you stay here. You can do all your transactions here, not anywhere else. But what the scientists are saying, no, we'll go and buy the land there. That's what they are booking the place already now, in the moon, isn't it? But Prabhupada is saying, you can never go there. You can never buy any land there either. And if you buy anything, you will find that you are cheated at the end. You can't go there. It's not possible. It's not possible because Shastram is telling us that. So anyway, our Chitrakedu, what happened was that he went and got this Vidyadhara's body because Sankrishnamurti offered him this body and took it, and then went there to join all the other Vidyadharas who were. So one day one of the group of Vidyadharas were going to see Lord Shiva. So they knew he is very junior. He has just come to their world, isn't it? So Vidyadharas asked them, where are you going to? So they said, we are going to see Lord Shiva in Kailas. So they said that, Chitrakedu says to them, I also want to come with you. They said, no, you don't come, you stay here, we will go. Said, because they knew that he is not ready yet to go to places like Kailasam. Nowadays they are booking, isn't it? $80,000 or something you pay. you get a visa and then you can go to Kabul. But only thing, you won't see Lord Shiva there. You'll come back. All the scenery is there. But that's not the Kailasa they're talking about, where Lord Shiva and Shri Parvati was there. When Vidyadharas went there, they saw Shri Parvati and Shiva there. So Chitrakedu insisted that he should go. And he went with them. When he got there, what happened? As soon as he saw Lord Shiva, that vasanas had not gone from inside, it came out. He had some understanding of Lord Shiva in his head. And Chitrakedu immediately thought, what is this Shiva doing here? Is he Lord Shiva? This is what he asked, this first question. And due to that, he offended, not Shiva, Shri Parvati. Got offended and Parvati cursed him to become a demon. And he became Rudrasura later. This story you know in the sixth canto. So when Sankarshamurti spoke to Chitrakedu, he said, Labdeha manushim yonim jnana vijnana sambhavam atmanam yona buddhyeda na kojicham amapnuyan. Then this human body, he says there to Chitrakedu, is only meant for one purpose, for self-realization, nothing else, for self-realization. Then one who does not do that, after getting in this body, one who does not cultivate spiritual knowledge and realize the self, he will never have any peace. That is his word. He will never have any peace. In other words, peace is the goal. Peace is the goal. Peace is the very nature of the soul. Peace is the very nature of the soul. Everything else is what we talk about. Sometimes we say, oh, I was feeling a lot of ecstasy while chanting. Or I'll say in the kirtan, I was remembering about Krishna, and then you are dancing, chanting and experiencing a lot of bliss, as they call it. All these experiences are coming. That is all in the face of emotions. In the face of emotions. Emotions by nature, they'll come and they'll go. They won't stay. Even if you try to create the same emotion, as soon as you leave the kirtan hall or the temple room, immediately those emotions go. You go back to your old state again, isn't it? So emotions by nature, they don't stay. They come and they go. But shanti, peace, Krishna says there, that shanti by nature is the very nature of the soul. It's like that, to be in shanti, in peace. That's why tataparam shanti ubaidhi sakshal. Who says that? Kavi Maharshi says there, isn't it? Tataparam shanti ubaidhi sakshal. If you look into the second chapter, in the 11th canto, you will see Kavi Maharshi says there, Tata Param Shandi Mubaydi Sasha. Param Shandi, the final, the supreme peace will come to that person at the end of self-realization. So, why? Shandi is our Swarupam. That is our nature. It's a natural thing. But because the mind is constantly throwing different thoughts inside, it's continuously in a disturbed state. Therefore, we are unable to know about this shanti. Shanti we are not experiencing any time because of the presence of the mind. Shanti is there, but because of the mind, you cannot know the shanti. What does mind mean? Mind means it's like this. Just like in the sky, if you look, sometimes the wind brings all the clouds together. Clouds come and cover the sun. And it covers the sunlight coming over. So similarly, in that spiritual sky, due to reasons unknown, different chitavrittis come, and that chitavritti, which is called the mind, that brings the cover of the soul. The soul belongs to Chidagasham, isn't it? Chidagasham is where Chitshakti comes from. The Chitshakti's presence is in the Chidagasham. Agasham is the sky. In that sky, it is present in its chit potency. But just like the sun is covered by the cloud, which is brought by the wind, similarly, these thoughts inside the mind, that brings this cloud in us and covers the soul in us. Avaranam. This is called Avarana Shakti, the covering potency of the mind. Remember, mind has got two potencies, the covering potency and the vichevam, deluding potency. Covering potency and the deluding potency. Covering potency is this, that it thoughts after thoughts comes through the mind and not allowing the soul to manifest inside, although he is inside, But constantly these thoughts coming over in front of that and covering it, that's called the covering potency of the mind. I mean, the result is that the shanti, the very nature of the soul, we are unable to experience. It creates constantly anxiety in us, some kind of distress state. On the other hand, it is a comparison is given like this, like the sun is covered by the clouds. Who brings the wind? Brings them, the clouds, and leave them there. And when it is covering the sun, we cannot experience the sun. Similarly, we cannot experience the soul's presence inside when it's covered with all these thoughts called the mind. All these thoughts called the mind. Similarly, the same wind that has covered the same wind that has covered the sun with the clouds, after sometimes you see the wind takes the clouds away. The same wind which has brought the clouds, it takes the clouds away, and then you can see the sun. So similarly, in us also, this chittavritti, which is nothing but the mind, which has brought this coverage inside, when that mind is able to stop this chittavritti inside, the soul immediately manifests in its pure form. The soul immediately manifest, and you will experience the presence of the soul. In other words, self-realization happens. What it says, Vayuna aniyade megha punasteneiva niyate manasa kalpade bando mokshasteneiva kalpade. Right. Vayuna aniyade megha. Vayu, air, brings all the clouds. Punasteneiva niyate. Again, it takes them away from there. Similarly, manasa kalpade bandham. The mind has created this bondage with the world, isn't it? The mind inside has created this bondage with the world. Manasa kalpade bandham. It is only the mind that has created this. Soul has no bondage anywhere. Soul has no connection with the family, with the society, with the country, with anything. Soul is independent. But it is the mind that has made all this connection with the world, with the world inside. Mokshasteneiva kalpade. And same mind can create also, when that thoughts what is going through has stopped inside, then the mind is gone, and then that is the liberated state. That is the liberated state. So, so Krishna says there that when the mind creates this bondage and covers the soul, it is then that all these emotions comes. Kamam, krodham, kama esha, krodha esha, lobham. All these things are happening. Plus, it also identifies with the body. So the same mind, while sitting in the satsangam, and by Krishna's mercy, and by hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, it becomes more and more clarity comes inside. And it becomes this, which is bahirmukham, which is going external, it becomes internal, inward looking. We will give our attention to the soul only if we know that's a thing called the soul inside us. Isn't it? That is why in the Shastram, they keep on repeating the same thing about the presence of the soul inside. Because if our attention don't go inward towards the soul, our mind will not go inward looking. It will keep on going outwardly. That's where you will find pleasure, because mind is used to that. That's all the mind knows. Mind only knows only one thing, that there is happiness, pleasure outside. So immediately the mind goes outside. So Krishna is saying, when the mind started looking inwards, when it realizes that this is our identity with the soul, and internally it starts doing, and also starting this Brahmavicharam, talking about the soul and soul's aspects, and one starts working with proper understanding of that, and the mind is purified from all chittavrittis or acting inside, then the mind is qualified to experience the soul. And at the same time, it will tell us about the peace, what we are supposed to experience, the peaceful state. And that point we will know, we are eternally liberated. Eternally liberated. This is why, if you remember, two chapters before, Krishna started the chapter with us, isn't it? That statement, do you remember? What did Krishna say at that time? Krishna says, this was in the chapter. Eleventh chapter. the first verse, if you look, you will see there, bandho mukta iti vyakhyo gunato me na vastuda gunasya maya mulatval na me moksho na bandhanam. As far as Krishna is concerned, there is no such thing called bondage, there is no such thing called liberation either. It's only because of the three modes of material nature and also due to maya, which is called maya, that the mind is experiencing all this bondage. It is that state what we are in today, in that state where mind is experiencing this. So Krishna is saying here that when the mind is freed from that, these continuous thought processes, thoughts that's coming through, and mind is purified. Purified means these thoughts don't happen in the way. The same thing Patanjali says. Patanjali says, yogaha chittavritti nirodha. The moment you stop chittavritti inside, you are in the yoga state. You are in the yoga state. So same thing Krishna is saying here. Through knowledge, somehow or the other, through bhakti, whichever process one follow, eventually if you come to this state, that it has stopped. This chittavritti has stopped inside. Immediately you will realize there is no such thing called bondage at that point. Then, and the mind will experience that that both this bondage and liberation are both are caused by the mind only. Both are caused by the mind only. And it shows to us that our real identity is not the body. Our real identity is not the body, not the mind, not the intelligence. And it shows us our proper identity as the soul. So, important thing coming. So, when we hear this knowledge from Upanishads and Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all, that we are trying to bring that, when we hear about that, we bring that into our mental faculty. Isn't it? We bring that into our mental faculty. And in due course, in course of time, this knowledge has to destroy that mind to which we have brought it in. In other words, what will happen is, as much as this spiritual knowledge from Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or Upanishads, it goes in, little by little, it will stop this chittavritti. It will stop the chittavritti. In other words, it will destroy the mind. It will destroy that mind. This is why it is said that in satsangam, if you keep on hearing, even if you don't put any effort into it, the very knowledge from the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita can do the job. Will do the job. Only thing is, if you positively work along with it, the results will be much faster. But if you don't do anything, but constantly hearing this, the very hearing process itself will change this effect of the mind. Mind will withdraw at that point, because mind cannot tolerate spiritual knowledge for a very long time. Afterwards, mind will give up. Mind will surrender. That's what will happen. At the moment, mind is saying, no, why should we waste time in hearing all these things? Who knows this is correct? And what is the point? I mean, I will think about it after retirement. These are all the ideas the mind is detecting. It is not coming from the soul. It's coming from the mind. Mind will tell you all excuses not to hear Bhagavatam. Mind will give you all excuses not to look at Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? So that is the mind. So you have to see the mind in that way. So in order, when that happens, Krishna is saying here that constantly hearing this in satsangam, in Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all that it does is, if you are capable and willing to do it, or the strength to do it, if you use it properly, very quickly, Krishna says, you can make that progress in spiritual life. Spiritual life, you can make that progress very quickly. But even if you don't do anything, because the knowledge itself is the truth, Krishna says, that knowledge will start working. Because why did the mind get so absorbed in the material life? There also, because in so many lifetimes, that's what we got. And that's what it got used to. In the same way, if it gets used to the spiritual side of the life, the mind will turn in that direction also. Mind is not particularly any... that is the nature of the mind, Krishna is saying here. Nature of the mind is like that. So, once it done like that, the mind will itself will show the chit shakti from inside, chit sarupam. That is, chit shakti from inside will work, and that is why shravanam is required. శ్రోతవ్యో మందవ్యో దిధ్యాసిదవ్య. ఇన్ ది ఉపనిషత్స్ ద స్టేట్మెంట్ ఈస్ లైక్ దాట్. ఫస్ట్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు హియర్ శ్రోతవ్యం. మందవ్య నిధిధ్యాసిదవ్య. మందవ్యం మీన్స్ దట్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు రిఫ్లెక్ట్ ఆన్ దాట్. దిస్ ఈస్ ది ఉపనిషత్ స్టేట్మెంట్. యూ హ్యావ్ టు రిఫ్లెక్ట్ వెరీ వెల్ వాట్ హెస్ బీన్ స్పోకన్ బై ది ఉపనిషత్స్. అండ్ బై రిఫ్లెక్షన్ వాట్ విల్ హ్యాపన్? నిధిధ్యాసనం విల్ హ్యాపన్. వాట్ ఈస్ నిధిధ్యాసనం మీన్స్? నిధిధ్యాసనం మీన్స్ వాట్ యూ హ్యావ్ డన్ ద రిఫ్లెక్షన్, ద మననం. ఆఫ్టర్ ద మననం ప్రాసెస్ ఇన్ యువర్ ఓన్ ఇన్సైడ్ యూ హ్యావ్ కమ్ టు సమ్ కన్క్లూషన్స్ అబౌట్ ది nature of your spiritual identity and able to hold on to that and not losing it again. That is nididhyasana. So shrodavyaha, mandavyaha, nididhyasidavyaha, these three things has to happen. Most of us, we don't even have shravanam properly. Shrodavya means shravanam. Our shravanam is this in, this out, isn't it? Remember about three types of people hearing. We talked about it, isn't it? Earlier, Srimad Bhagavatam, we are thinking that, oh, it's just some stories we'll hear, and I've heard this. And some people will say, I've been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from my grandmother used to tell me, then my mother used to tell me, now I'm hearing, I'm telling my children also, so we are all very first-class pure devotees. It doesn't work like that. This is all our bogus ideas in our head, because we have not studied Bhagavatam properly. Bhagavatam is telling us that the way it can happen is, he says, first proper Shravanam. Shravanam has to be proper. And Shravanam can only happen when Kathanam is there. Shravanam has to happen only when Kathanam is there. So Krishna says here, Shrodavyaha, Mandavyaha, Nididhyasidavyaha. So how to explain this is, if you remember, in the Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmyam, in the Puranam, there is a Mahatmyam of Bhagavatam, that is in the Padma Puranam. There is a story of Atmadeva, a Brahmana story there, and Dundugari, isn't it? So there, that Dundugari has to accept a body of a ghost. So, and eventually he had a stepbrother, or you can say Gokarnam, isn't it? Gokarnam was his stepbrother. That story, we talked about it when we discussed Bhagavatam, when we began the Bhagavatam first time. So Bhagavata Puranam, Bhagavata Mahatmyam it is in the Padma Puranam. It says there. So there, due to sinful activities, Dundugari had to suffer heavily. And Dundugari by nature was very sinful, plus sinful association as well. Dundugari had to accept a body and fell into a very difficult situation. But this stepbrother, Gokarna, wanted to help him. So eventually he places Sun God, and Sun God gives him the benediction that here Srimad Bhagavatam, he will get released from this curse. So Bhagavata Saptaham was arranged for him to hear. And in that Bhagavata Saptaham, when Bhagavatam was spoken, this Dundugari had to accept the body of a ghost. And Srimad Bhagavatam was being spoken, and many, many people had come to hear Bhagavatam there. And in that Bhagavatam, 7 days, like Parikshit had heard from Sudev Goswami, here also Bhagavatam was recited, and the ghost form of this Dundugari had come, and it has occupied a bamboo which was there. In a bamboo plant, it has occupied its place. It was sitting there. And all others who were present there, they also heard Srimad Bhagavatam. On the 7th day, when Srimad Bhagavatam was finished, the bamboo cracked open, and from that the ghost came out and got its spiritual body. And it came out in its spiritual body. So all those who were present there, they were amazed by this, what happened. So there, great, great personalities had come there to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So many who were present there, they felt, why we didn't have experienced it like that? So the answer to that was given by Srinarayana Maharshi there, saying that the only reason for that was that this Dundugari, because of its stay he was in, that Dundugari had a hopeless situation in life. That they tried all other ways to get out of this ghostly body. Dundugari didn't do anything. This was the last opportunity that hear Srimad Bhagavatam properly and you can come out of this ghostly body and come back to its blissful spiritual body. So it couldn't even get a human body. This was the state they were in because of the sinful activities of that ghostly body. So Sri Narada Maharshi was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the four Kumaras at that time. The four Kumaras were reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Narada Maharshi was hearing this along with other devotees who were present there. So except Dundukari, no one else got liberated on that occasion. So the question was raised, why Dundukari got released from this state? So the answer was that he heard it properly. That means, in other words, while hearing, he had 100% acceptance of what he was hearing, and inside, he had no chitavritti inside going through. So free from all thoughts, otherwise. And therefore he says here that hearing process is important. So proper Shravanam is when we hear something, particularly Srimad Bhagavatam, if we are completely focused on that. That is an important thing. In other words, hearing is not proper Shravanam. It's not proper Shravanam. So from Shravanam, that is the most important thing, the seriousness. In other words, like Dundukari felt that I have no other choice. If I don't get out of this body now, nothing else is going to happen. I will have to stay in this state forever. So that distress inside, in that ghostly, subtle body, what he was experiencing, made him to take Srimad Bhagavatam very seriously. Very seriously he took it and he heard Bhagavatam in that way. And because his hearing was so good, that, of course, it also depends on who was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. That is more important. It was the great four Kumaras who were reading Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly Sanat Kumara Maharshi. He was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and naturally, the speaker was the most prominent speaker, and the listener also in the perfect, matured state, perfection state. So therefore, it has helped him. So, in other words, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasam. So Shravanam is important in the sense that it can degrade simply into an entertainment. Srimad Bhagavatam can degrade into a form of entertainment. That is, when that state happens, it is not hearing anymore. It is more into the music. And it's more into the stories and jokes and humors and all other things what they do to entertain the public. Because often what the speakers do when they find that the public is not interested in hearing, in order to keep them alive, they'll start making jokes and making things to keep them interested. Otherwise they'll go, because when you know, when big people come, that the organizers, they would have arranged a lot of organization required when you're inviting somebody, a great personalities to speak. But the people who are coming, say 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 people who come for this, they are not interested. They have not understood the whole thing, purpose behind it. So when they come, they are not ready for it, to hear. And they have cooked so much prasadam for all these people, so they have to stay there to have the prasadam distributed. For organizers, this is the main interest. They have to make sure that everything, a lot of people must come, they should all take prasadam and go. Then their job is finished. Whether spiritual knowledge is gone in or not, that's another thing. That's not their concern. That is up to you, they'll say, if you want to take it. But the fact is that this is what happens. So organizers, they will think in terms of they will tell the speaker, you have to keep them there till the prasadam time. Otherwise, if they go after 10, 11 o'clock, what will happen to all the prasadam we have cooked? Nobody will eat that. So, they feel, if thousands of people had come, they think, oh, it was a great success. Program was a great success. These are all misunderstanding of spiritual life. So, Krishna is saying here that this Bhagavatam, speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, if it simply become a business like that, then that is very unfortunate, because then this is what will happen. You will see 100,000 people listening, but nothing is happening. No change is happening. No realization is coming from Srimad Bhagavatam. They have heard the story and they'll go home. And the music was very good with all the instruments and everything. Everything was fantastic. They'll go home and they'll come back next year also for the same program. And with this 1 year, they've gone and done what they wanted to do. And they will give you money and all that. They'll donate all the money what you need. So every year after year, the program goes on, but nothing changes. Spiritually, no change. Spiritually, no benefit to the people. So that should not happen. That is what he's saying here. That hearing process is such that after hearing, what changes is going to happen? That is the most important thing, isn't it? Shravanam kathanam mathanam shravanam shodavya mandavya nididhyasadavya mananam nididhyasanam. So realized souls, they notice these things. Realized souls, they notice these things. How the normal laugigas, like us, like all of us, laugigis, how they practice their spiritual life, they are observing us. So sometimes they will make some comments about that. Once it so happened, Sadashiva Brahmendra was walking through a street. He is a realized soul. So he was observing people, what they were doing. When he was going through one street, he saw the people were sitting there and they were talking about all the politics in this world. They were discussing each other. So he didn't say one word. He passed through the street. Then he went through another street he was going through. He saw they were not discussing about the politics in this world. They were talking about all that was going on in the heavenly planets, in the other world, higher world. So he made a comment to somebody who was with him. He says like this. He says, in this street, they are talking about gossiping about the other world. In the other street, they are talking about this world, gossiping about this world. It is both gossip only. Because neither of them are seriously interested in spiritual life or spiritual realization. They are both talking about, they are happy to know, Chandra, has the moon god, has been after Brihaspati's wife and he wanted to marry her. They are. It's beautiful. Krishna, he loved Rukmini so much. Look what he has done. Krishna ran after Rukmini and Rukmini was taken away from the middle of all the other kings. Like this. And then Krishna danced with the gopis. Let's hear that, how he danced with the gopis. What all happened? In this way, and they think, we heard the katha today. Everything, it was fantastic. Srimad Bhagavatam, we heard everything. Gone home happily after hearing this. That won't do. That's not what Krishna is talking about. So that realized soul, jnanis and great devotees, they will see through these things because they are alert in their spiritual life all the time. They're conscious what spiritual life is for. Spiritual life is not for discussing mundane way things, but understand from Puranams, Bhagavatam, Upanishads, everything, there is a message to us. Vedavyas has given some serious messages. And because we are unable to pick up that message through Upanishads, he has come down to us in the form of Mahabharatam and in the form of Ramayanam and all the other Puranas and presented it to us in such a way, somehow or the other, let them get interested in this. And that's why he has done that. So anyway, so Krishna is saying here that this thing that if we look at people, their interest is always in this gossip, isn't it? Gossip is always interesting. Welcome to all the gossip. What's going on in this world? What's going on in the Ishkon world? What's going on in the... They think it's spiritual world, although it's all gossip. But that's what it is interesting him. Then they asked Sadashiva, the person who was with Sadashiva Brahmendra asked him that what to do. He says, what can be done? If we don't discuss if you don't have the gossip from the spiritual world, we will have the gossip from the material world. Rather, let them have the gossip from the spiritual world so that at least keep them busy. They won't do something. But on the other hand, gossiping about the material world is more dangerous than gossip. Because if you gossip about the spiritual world, it can't do very much damage, isn't it? But he is still remaining gossip only, not more than that. So this katha business is like that. If you simply hear katha and gone home, I heard all the gossip in the spiritual world and have gone home happily. That's the end of that. It should not happen that way. That's why he says here like that. So what is happening is, in order that get us out of this this gossip of this world, Puranams will present it to us a dream world in the heavenly planets. That's what they are doing. They are doing to us a world that is created there. If you keep asking, oh, all you are trying to, am I trying to say that all the Puranic stories are just a dream world created for us? No, it's not like that. Many things in the Puranas you will find, there is always something added to it to create a feeling that we, to get us interested in that. But the idea is not to keep on listening to these stories and stay there. On the other hand, in order to take it to the message, what is in there, in the Puranas. If the message is not coming in, then that story, hearing stories have not gone very far. If it has not gone very far. So therefore, if you look in Srimad Bhagavatam carefully, you will see there, the word used is not katha. The word is used is kathanam. Kathanam, it says there. Katha, normally when we say it's story, that's not the sense it is used there. That's not in the sense that word is used there. Kathanam, it means, kathanam means something that is spoken. That is spoken. In few places in the Bhagavatam, you will see that I want to hear about Krishna all the time, it says there. Prithu Maharaj, when the four Kumaras came to see him, the four Kumaras came to see Prithu Maharaj. So they asked Prithu Maharaj, what boon do you want? What boon do you want? So if you look into Prithu Maharaj's reply, you will see that he says there, Mahattamandir Mukhambujachyuto Vithalsa Karnayita Meshamevara. In the third canto, and in the fourth canto, you will see this. You look at those verses very carefully, you will notice this. Mahattamandir Mukhambujachyuto Vithalsa Karnayita Meshamevara. Prithu Maharaj says to the Kumaras, if you want to offer me any benediction, only one thing, give me thousands of years, so that all through these thousands of years, I can, vithalswa karnaida meshamevara, that the drops of nectar that is coming from the sages, the self-realized souls, when they talk about their spiritual realization, I can hear that with thousands of years, he says. With thousands of years, he says like that. So in other words, what he is trying to say is that when you hear from the sages who are self-realized, self-realized souls, self-realized personalities, what that brings in inside us is that each and every cell in this body will be receptive to that message, will be receptive to that message. And it will change our consciousness. It will change our consciousness. Mahattamandir Mukhambujachyuto Vidhalswa Karnayita Meshamevara. That such a boon I am asking, he says. That's the only boon I am asking. Now you will also see same things mentioned by other personalities. Like Mujugunda story, if you remember. Mujugunda went to help Indra in the heavenly planets to fight the war. For a long period of time, Mujugunda fought the war, helping Indra in his fight against the demons. So after the war was over, Mujugunda had to come back. His business was over. So he asked, the demigods asked him, what boon are you looking for from us? Mujugunda says to them, what boon can you offer me? So I would like to liberate it from this material world, material existence. I don't want to go back to this earthly planet and live there forever like that. The demigod said, we can't offer you that. That is not in our capacity. We don't have the capacity. So then Mujugunda says to him, then if you can't offer that, what is the point asking you anything? The demigod says, we can offer you so much material happiness, this, that and the other. But Mujugunda was clever. What did he say? He said to them, material happiness is concerned, as a king, I've got everything. I don't think I need much from you. Because Mujugunda was a great personality. He belonged to the Solar dynasty. One of the most powerful kings, like so many other personalities, Bhagiratha and Ambarish and Mujugunda. They are all personalities in the solar rays, all great jnanis and great personalities. So Mujgunda says to them, if that is the case, give me one blessing, I can go and fall into deep sleep, he says. We may wonder, what kind of blessing is this, asking for deep sleep? Because Mujgunda's point was, in deep sleep, you can realize the truth. This realization can come, that what you are experiencing at that point in deep sleep is closer to the truth than any other time in the Jagrat or Sopnam state. So that's how he was given this benediction to come have a deep sleep in the cave. And then you know what the story after that. That Kalayavana came, Krishna brought him in and showed him. Kalayavana saw him and kicked Mujgunda, and Mujgunda's eyes were open, and in the fire of the eyes, Kalayavana burnt into ashes. Krishna got him killed like that. And then there is Mujgunda's glorification of Krishna and Krishna's benediction to Mujgunda. In the Bhagavatam, we should read those things. Why? Because there you will see there is no discussion about katha, story. It's all serious business about liberation, coming out of material existence, and Krishna's instructions to Mujgunda and transcendental knowledge. All that is spoken in the Bhagavatam. So here, so generally what is spoken is very rare. Why is it rare? Because those people who have got that self-realization and who can speak with that realization is very few, isn't it? There are very, very few people who when they speak, when it comes out through them, the anubhuti or that realization inside should come out from their mouth. That's what will happen. When they speak of Srimad Bhagavatam, through their lips, what comes out is their self-realization, what they have realized. So when the realized souls speak Srimad Bhagavatam, that anubhuti or that blissful experience what they have, that is what is coming out. And that is what Prithu Maharaj says, I would like to receive that anubhuti from that person to inside. So, and that is a very, very rare thing. That's a very rare thing. Lord Buddha sat underneath the Bodhi Bhusha tree, isn't it? Bodhi tree. He sat underneath that and he got self-realized. After so many days, he got self-realized. And then he decided, I don't want to speak about the state of realization with anybody. He spoke like that. These are in the Buddha story, Bhauta Kathas. You will read these things. Because he was thinking, after the self-realization state, he was thinking, how can I give this to somebody else? How can I give this to somebody else? Which is a very difficult thing. That's what Krishna is saying there. That in a realized state, a jnani also, he is hesitant to hand it over to somebody else. Not due to anything else. He does not know how to give it to somebody. Because if the person is not equally receptive, it cannot be received from the giver. So Buddha had the realization, but there was no one he found who was receptive to it. So Buddha mentions there that there's a board, if you go to Gaya, you will see, there's a board kept there, Animesha Lochana Buddha. Then after realization, Buddha is sitting there with his eyes wide open in the realized state. No more winking after that. Animesha Lochana Buddha is called. And that's the title they have given to him. He's sitting there. So 3 weeks he sat there without closing his eyes, looking for someone who could receive this message from him, what he has experienced, but there was none. Nobody was interested in that. So generally you can see all the self-realized souls also in this world, when they are in the realized state, nobody has any interest in that, able to realize about self-realization. All they are interested is that, how much money has he got, if he can share with you, or what you have got. So all people come for that. Self-realization, many, very few people will be interested in that. So, but in the material nature, there are personalities, there is forces acting in this world who drag these realized souls to share their realizations with others. That setup is already there in the material nature. It's already there. So there is a deity which is known Brahmasambhati. Brahmasambhati means those who have realized a Brahman realization, that personified form is called Brahmasambhati. So that Devata comes and says to Lord Buddha that why don't you speak what you have realized to others? What you have realized, why don't you speak about that? So Buddha's answer was like this, how can I say this? Because if I say anything, nobody will understand it, first thing. Secondly, so there is no point in saying anything about it. Then, and secondly, he says, those who are serious about it, who want to realize the self, they will inquire and find it out themselves. I don't have to tell them either. This is how Buddha answered this Devada or Brahmasambhati Devada. He answered that Devada in this way. So at that time, Brahmasambhati Devada says to Lord Buddha like this, there are a lot of people who do not belong to neither of these two categories. Which category? This first category, who will never understand anything. And second category, who are very serious about it, they'll find out eventually how to realize the self. But there are other people, a third category, who does not belong to either of these two. He says to them, na atyanda ajnaha, no dajnaha. They are not totally ignorant, nor they are realized. There's a group of people like that in this world. So in order to help them, he says, they have to hear. Only then they can realize. So there is a lot of people in this world who are actually, they have no interest at all in spiritual life. They have no interest whatsoever. They will see with their own eyes all spiritual activities in this world. They'll see the temples, they'll see the deity worship, they'll hear Srimad Bhagavatam, but they have no interest whatsoever. That's one group of people. Then there is another group of people who, by virtue of their seriousness, because inside the Chitshakti has started working so strongly, it is pushing them inside to search for the truth. They will find the truth at any cost. They will work for that and they will put all their energy in that direction. So these two categories doesn't require any instruction. But there is a third category who are ignorant and at the same time they have some desire also. So this mixed up state, for them, Brahmasambhati says to Lord Buddha, for their benefit you should speak. He says to them. And that is why he says here, they are not completely ignorant, this third category. They are not completely ignorant. But at the same time, they are not ready to search for the truth. This state, sort of a in-between state. That is the most difficult state. In the sense that these people, they can't enjoy the material life, nor they can enjoy the spiritual life. This state of existence. Then neither they have the capacity or the inclination for a serious inquiry for the truth or spiritual life, nor have they the interest for a first-class material life, like the first category we spoke about. They are not after that either. They are hanging in between. So for their benefit, Brahmasambhati says to Buddha that you should speak about this. So there, if they hear this, then from inside, that desire for liberation will slowly build up in them. Mukti Bijam, it's called. The Bijam for Mukti, or the seed for liberation, will start sprouting inside. And for that, they have to hear. They have to hear. That's the only way they can create that inside. And therefore, it is called Vartha. It is called Vartha, news. Vartha means news. If you translate, it is called news. The Vartha is the news. So when Vidura went to Maitreya Maharshi, if you look into the third canto, you will see there, Vidura spoke to Maitreya Maharshi and says to him, Vartam sake kirtaya tirtha kirte. That's how he puts it to him. Vartam sake kirtaya tirtha kirte. In other words, addressing Maitreya Maharshi, Vidura says to him, please tell me about that news, he says. There he is not saying katha. He is saying that vartha. Vartha about the soul. Vartha about the soul. Vartham sake tirthaya. Vartham sake kirtaya tirtha kirte. That glorification of the soul, which Maitreya Maharshi did to Vidura, talking to Madhura about this, Vidura wanted to hear from Maitreya Maharshi, kirtaya tirtha kirte, that talk to me about that tirtham, the abode of all the holy personalities where they have taken shelter. Krishna, the super soul, talk to me about him, about that super soul. That is how Vidura asked about this. In Bhagavatam, in different places you will see this, that they are not looking for katha. Maitreya Maharshi, Vidura didn't go to Maitreya Maharshi asking, Maitreya, tell me all the story, what you know. Nor you find Parikshit asking Sudeva Goswami, tell me the story. Nor Uddhava saying to Krishna, tell me the story. No. Vartam sage kirtaya tirthakirte. That tirthakirte, that the abode of all the saintly personalities, great personalities, self-realized souls, their abode, the news from there. That's what they want to hear. They are not asking for the news from this world. They are asking from the news from the spiritual world. In other words, the knowledge of self-realization. That is what they are looking for. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting to us not simply stories. Katha is there. But more important than that is, through this, they are bringing us our interest to Katha Shravanam. Hearing this Katha should eventually develop into Tattva Jijnyasa. Isn't it? Tattva Jijnyasa. Jivasya Tattva Jijnyasa. In the beginning, Sudha Goswami spoke all that. But at that time, we didn't think what this Tattvam, what Jijnyasa we thought. But here you can see that Vadandida Tattvavidam Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavanadi Shabdade. Isn't it? And then he says there that Jivasya Tattva Jijnyasa Na Arthoyascheha Karmabhi. Not earning money, artham, karmam, all that is not the goal. Goal is Tattva Jijnyasa. What is Tattva Jijnyasa? Tattva Jijnyasa means this, by knowing which you are released from the material life once for all. No more material body after that. That is what is Tattva Jijnyasa means. Tattva Jijnyasa has to take us to that state where there is no more material body after realizing the truth in this body. That should not happen again. Do not have to come back to this material world and accept another material body and continue this cycle of birth and death. Only when that happens, this result of, you can say, you have heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Up to that time, you have not heard Bhagavatam. You are hearing stories till then. But when this thing happens, that after hearing all this, the message has gone in and it has done its work inside, and once for all we have understood our Swarupam, what we are as spirit soul. Our connection with Krishna is known, and then you can say that you have understood Srimad Bhagavatam like Parikshit did. We'll discuss next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.